My name is William Griggs, host of the Startup Slingshot TV, a show that delivers guidance from experienced entrepreneurs and business experts on how to dream, launch, and grow your business. Today's guest is Chuck Gordon. Chuck is the founder and CEO of Sparefoot, the world's largest self-storage marketplace. I'm going to talk with Chuck about the strategies, channels, and tools Sparefoot uses to find customers. Enjoy. All right, Chuck, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I've literally been dreaming about the opportunity to spend time talking and looking at the beautiful beautiful face of William here many years. And just the fact that this has come to fruition is amazing. And I'm a little bit speechless.
Man, that's a great intro. That's a great way to start this interview. I mean, we're in your email boxes, we're on the web, and now we're in people's dreams. This is crazy.
Like, I was dreaming about this scenario without even ever having seen you before, but I somehow could picture it.
Exactly. Perfect. So the reader or the listeners or the viewers, they know why they're here. And in order to keep them here, we want to set up some credibility. And to do that, we want you to talk about kind of some of the success you've had to date. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the success you've had to date with Sparefoot?
Sure. Yeah. So Sparefoot has grown from just myself and my co-founder Mario to now nearly 50 people in under 3 years. And obviously our revenue and volume of transactions is growing right along with that to support it. And that is probably the best measure of our success is our big, awesome team.
Yeah, big, awesome team. The growth, like you said, over the last 3 years, it's pretty impressive. So perfect. Now that our audience kind of understands that you have lots of experience in getting customers, and we didn't really talk about raising money, but I've seen that y'all have raised some money. Let's dig in to how you attract these customers. So, you know, what we wanted to start with is the marketing channels you use. So what are the different marketing channels you all use to kind of attract customers?
We do everything we possibly can. I did kind of come up with a couple ones that I think would be good to talk about, but you know, we literally do everything from SEO to PPC to email to biz dev partnerships. Basically any way we can get ourselves in front of one of our potential customers, we'll do it.
Gotcha. And are any of those more fruitful than the rest?
Yeah, well, I think a couple good ones to talk about today would be our SEO efforts and our business development efforts, two areas where I think we've been particularly successful.
Gotcha. All right. So we'll spend the rest of the interview kind of digging into those two first. And if we have time, we'll go into PPC and email. So let's start with SEO. How does that channel work for you and your business?
So SEO for us, we run many different websites. And SEO is obviously the unpaid traffic that you get from Google primarily, some from Bing Who. But you know, it's the unpaid organic listings on Google.
Gotcha.
That are, you know, people basically, they search for storage in Los Angeles or storage in Austin, whatever it might be, and one of our sites will show up in their search results, hopefully at the top.
Gotcha. So your approach is actually you have sparefoot.com, but you might have a location focused type of site as well. So you say you run multiple websites.
Yeah, we run Sparefoot, selfstorage.com, self-storage deal, self-storage finders, and a whole bunch more. And basically, yeah, our approach is, you know, kind of offer something different on each site and just try to get them ranking as high as possible everywhere.
Gotcha. And how do you actually work to get them ranked higher?
So it's somewhat complicated, and you know, I wouldn't exactly call myself an expert, but I would say that we've built a really amazing team of folks who are experts, who do all of the hard work to actually make it happen. But I can tell you for sure that it's a lot of playing by the rules. So, you know, it's really easy to go do black hat SEO, you know, kind of paid linking and that kind of thing. But what we've found is while you may get short-term benefits from doing that, Google will always catch you in the long run. And if you're trying to build a big sustainable business, you just can't do that because you will be screwed. So we have a team that is basically specifically focused on SEO related things like link building and that kind of thing. And then we also have a PR team who is basically focused on just getting Sparefoot out there as much as possible and generating links and awareness through publications and interviews like this one, and basically any opportunity we can to get Sparefoot into some sort of publication.
Gosh, that makes a lot of sense. So, how many people are in those teams, roughly?
Total, I would say we are 10.
Gotcha. Nice. And so, it's looking for different PR opportunities, like you said, to get featured in articles, featured in interviews, guest posts, blogs, all sorts of content that can help create the links and then additional link generation. Or link building actions. What else in terms of the SEO do you all do or think about?
Well, so one of the things that I think is important is, of course, and this is important for every part of your business, but measuring all of the critical metrics. So for SEO and every other channel that we have, we very closely monitor all of our volume, our conversion rates, our competitive rankings, and of course, obviously revenue at the end of the day. So you have to be, making sure that all of the dollars and time that you're investing into your various SEO related initiatives are paying off, and monitoring those metrics is, in my opinion, the best way to do it.
Gotcha. And so, give us a. Can you walk us through exactly how you do that, or how you even think about that? Because if you're spending, or have a team that spends a lot of time every day with salaries and health benefits, putting together this efforts, how do you actually track that through?
So it's actually very easy to track traffic from organic channels in Google Analytics. As I'm sure most people watching this have heard of Google Analytics, it's free. And it very clearly breaks out what keywords people are using to find your site, how much traffic is coming in. And you can actually set up goals in Google Analytics so that you can track conversions in there as well. So, kind of in one place with Google Analytics, you can see how much volume am I getting from what keywords, and are those visitors actually converting? And at what rate?
Gotcha. So if you're looking at maybe the actions that you took this month, you're kind of looking at the difference between last month and this month when you start next month. Is that how you're tracking the differences to make sure that your efforts are bringing the fruit that you want?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, A/B testing, it's a lot easier to use an A/B testing tool to say, okay, I've got test group A and test group B, and which one of them does better? That's very straightforward. With SEO, you can't really do that because every change you make takes, like, at a minimum 3, 4 weeks to have any impact. So you kind of have to look at it like, okay, these are when we did these changes, and this is how it's trended over time. And it is basically impossible to ever point and say for sure this change made this impact, but you still have to try.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What else do we kind of need to know about your SEO efforts and what you would suggest our listeners or viewers do in their startup?
I think, the biggest thing for us is in the early days, obviously, we were trying to do it ourselves when it was just Mario and I, but we kind of very quickly learned that the foundation that you build, even from day one, is super, super critical to your long-term success. So if you envision SEO and traffic to your website being an important part of your business, it's like from the get-go, you need to have an expert running it.
Gotcha, that makes a lot of sense. Are there any mistakes you've made along the path that you can share with our viewers so they won't make?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that we've definitely learned a few lessons with the playing by Google's rules. It's very, if you do anything that they want you to do, even if it seems like, oh, there's no way they'll ever catch us, they will. And, I guess my advice would be just go play by the Google rules, all day long, and you'll win in the end.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense because, like you're saying, if you try to find that cheat or that shortcut, it's going to set you back. You might get dropped lower in the rankings than if you had just played by the rules and built up a little bit slower.
Right.
Makes a lot of
and
sense.
I mean, it's a lot slower, but you know, if you're building your company for the long term, then that's the approach you have to take.
Yeah, that's good actionable advice for the viewers and the listeners of this program. What about any resources that you and your team look towards for like help around SEO?
So Search Engine Land is a really good website where they have a lot of good content about what's going on. Definitely check that out. Matt Cutts, who kind of is the search guy at Google, has a blog, and there's a lot of good information on there as well.
Gotcha. Nice. All right. That's a good overview for our listeners. They can take that information, playing by the rules. They can think about building up their own team. And even before that, where they're starting to build their own foundation to help, you know, whether at the beginning it's an advisor or an independent contractor to help them build that marketing channel. If they, again, like you said, see it as one of the key ways for them to get customers. And let's shift and start talking about some of your business development or partnership efforts. How do you see that, or how does that build in or work into your business?
So for us, our business development efforts and partnerships have always been super critical, even from the early days. And our initial approach actually was to go talk to websites who already had traffic, since, for instance, we knew that SEO was going to take us a long time to build up to be meaningful. So in the early days, we went to websites who already had people that were moving and basically said to them, hey, you guys have a lot of people who are moving. Why don't you let us offer storage to them, because they're probably going to need a storage unit and we can make their life a lot easier and make you some money by offering storage. And so we did that early on with apartments.com and forrent.com and quite a few other moving and apartment related websites, and have always been very successful in basically leveraging these types of relationships to drive volume.
Gotcha. Can you give us an example of how you would approach an apartments.com as an upstart and they're more of an established company?
Well, you know, apartments.com or whoever it might be, even if they're an established company, you know, they're ultimately any company's goal is to provide the best customer service that they possibly can so that their customers want to come back, and also to generate more revenue. So if your solution can do both of those things, which ours can and did, then it doesn't matter really how big that company is compared to you. They're going to be interested.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. So give them the opportunity to make more money and give them a better experience for their customers so they come back.
Yep.
And you got the win-win partnership that you need regardless of size. That makes a lot of sense. What are some other examples of business development efforts or partnerships you all utilize inside of Sparefoot?
So one really cool partnership that we recently launched is with Penske Truck Rental. So you've probably heard of them. They're a pretty huge company.
Yeah.
And basically everyone who's renting it, no, I shouldn't say everyone, a large portion of people who are renting trucks also need to rent a storage unit. And being able to offer that storage unit along with the truck is going to do both of those things that I just mentioned, which is be way better for Penske customers in terms of their experience, and also help, obviously, Penske generate additional revenue as well as us. And then on the other side of it, for us as well, we're going to be offering Penske trucks to all of our customers who we believe a very significant portion of actually need to rent a truck to go move their stuff into their storage unit. So the kind of point of the partnership on both ends is to make it easy for our customers to bundle storage and their moving truck together. And, you know, we're pretty excited about the partnership, and we've launched it, and it's going really well so far.
Gotcha. So we talked a little bit about apartments.com. We talked about Penske Truck Rentals, which are just, you know, perfect in your wheelhouse, complementary businesses. Are there any other examples that can kind of get the people that are listening or watching this program thinking within their own business?
I think, you know, those are really the best examples we have. You know, I would say, you know, be creative and try to think outside the box in terms of where your customers might be. You know, it wasn't necessarily in the early days so obvious to us, not really knowing the industry, oh, Penske is going to have a ton of people who need storage rentals. But once you kind of understand your customers a little bit more and realize what they're doing, you realize, oh, well, almost all of them rent a truck when they're moving into their storage facility. So there's probably a lot of them who would like to be able to do that together.
Gotcha. So it seems like you're thinking about the actual person's experience. So if they're looking for an apartment, they're probably moving from a house or an apartment to that apartment. So they might need a truck, but they also might need storage. But then you're like, ooh, they might need a truck. So why don't we partner with both apartment finders and truck rental places? So that makes a lot of sense. And that's, again, something that our viewers or listeners can take back and think about their overarching customer experience and where they fit into it and how can they partner with people on each side of the process.
Exactly.
What about, are there any like key metrics that you think about or keep your business development people to?
So it's exactly the same as SEO. It's volume, conversion rate. You don't necessarily have the competitive rankings element of it, but volume, conversion rate, and revenue. And one important thing I would say is it's revenue, obviously, for both parties when you're talking about a partnership. Because if you want a partner to be interested and involved in the partnership, then they need to be making money too.
Makes a lot of sense. Win-win for both sides. Have there been any mistakes that you could talk about that we can learn from or viewers can learn from?
I would say that, you know, whenever you're working with another company, whether it be in a business development type relationship or anything really, if you want something to get done, you should never expect it to just get done if you say, hey, can you please do this the first time? It always requires extra handholding, and I mean, just think about it. It makes sense. If someone asks you to do something from a different company, you have 500 other priorities that are going on, and that's going to be most likely at the bottom of your list. So if you want to be at the top of their list, then you need to make continued effort to make sure that that happens.
Now, what do you have to do on that front? Is it just continually nudging them nicely, or is it saying, hey, I'll take this off your plate and I'll make it easier for you to say yes? How do you approach that?
So our approach is always, what can we do for our partners so that they don't actually have to do anything, so that they have to do as little as possible. So we try to do all, when it's something we can do for them, we try to do it.
Gotcha. So it could be even like, this is what the partnership page might look like. This is what the content might look like. This is the actual contract we're going to use. This is how we're going to, you know, market this. This is how we want you to market this. This is what we want you to use. So making it super easy, a no-brainer, like you're saying, to kind of get them to say yes, and then obviously making it mutually beneficial financially wise as well.
Yep. And I mean, you know, you just have to think about it. Put yourself in your partner's shoes. They're very, very busy, and the more you can do to foster the partnership and make it easy for them to engage, the better.
Gotcha. Is there any resources, books, or blogs that you've looked to for business development help or partnership help?
I actually do not know any online resources really for business development. And I think what I would recommend and what we had early on were some really, really good advisors who had been doing business development for a long time at similar companies and kind of knew the ins and outs of everything from how to pitch it, how to structure the partnerships, how to go actually execute it once you've got it in place. So really, I mean, I think the best advice or resource you can get is someone who's been there, done that, and can walk you through your specific situations.
Makes sense. So it could be an early hire. It could be, like you said, an advisor, someone that gives you instant credibility, instant know-how to fill those knowledge gaps and get you up and running.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been great. We've covered the SEO. We've covered the business development. Is there any one other piece of advice you would like to share with the audience before we sign off?
I do have one other thing on the business development one.
Yeah, let's go.
So I would say that another lesson we learned is you should be very careful about you should be thoughtful about how you structure the payment relationship in your deals, because if you don't do it the right way, you can potentially find yourself in a cash flow crunch situation. So you got to make sure that you're getting paid for whatever it is with sufficient time to then pay out your partners after that. And we got early advice to do that and structured all of our deals like that. And so it's worked, but it would be easy to not do it like that and then wake up a couple years and be like, oh crap.
Yeah. What would be the downside, or how would you structure it poorly?
So for instance, you know, in our business, bookings get made all month and then we don't actually get paid for them until the next month. So if we told a partner, hey, we're going to pay you on May 31 for all of May volume, well, we haven't collected May revenue yet, so how are we going to pay them, right?
Gotcha. So you would have to be paying them for previous revenue versus the revenue that they actually generated for you.
Right.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. That's something definitely that's a key takeaway when they're thinking through this. Not only get advice from advisors or hire early employees with lots of experience, but consume educational content like this, and they can learn from others' mistakes and even people that they don't even know personally. So this has been a great interview, and I want to encourage all the viewers out there, if they found this interesting, if they enjoyed it, if they know someone who's launching a startup who needs SEO or business development help, to take the time right now to copy the link in the address bar, paste it into your email, and ship it on, and we'll just join your friends, and we'll help teach them what we learned here today. So you'll look smart, your friend will love you for it, we'll love you for it, and we appreciate your efforts. So thanks for watching, and thanks for coming on and joining us today for the interview.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.